No, thank you. Sleepy. Come back in an hour.
Need sleepy.
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
It's now time for the Billy C. Morning Show, part of the Billy C. Boxing Network. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C. Studios in Lake Georgia, New York. I'm Bill Caligiuri. It's time for the Billy C. Morning Show. Good morning to everybody. Hope everybody's doing okay today. I want to give a special shout out to our Fight TV viewers. And if you're not watching us on Fight TV, and because you don't get it in your area, fear not, because you can get it on your handheld. That's right. Go to www.fight.tv, fight, FITE.TV/BillyC, and download the Fight TV app today and watch us on your handheld, including your phone. So you could be watching us on your phone right now on Fight TV. Today's show is being brought to us in part by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant, located in St. Simons Island, Georgia. And speaking of Georgia, I want to welcome a new affiliate that we just took on a couple weeks ago, WGIG-AM in Brunswick, Georgia. And everyone watching or listening from Brunswick, Georgia, make sure you go to Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant, located in St. Simons Island. Check out the website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or give my man a call, 912-268-2328, 912-268-2328. And if you're heading back north, or if you're going south, don't forget, it's 15 minutes out of your way off I-95 to enjoy a delicious Italian cuisine. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by the Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia post-fight show that we're going to be doing right here as soon as the fight is over. I'm going to give you my thoughts. We're going to get Sal Rocky Santacola's thoughts. We're going to get your thoughts because we're going to open up the phone line. So approximately 6 minutes after the fight is over, make sure you're tuning in right here, the Thurman Garcia post-fight show. And finally, today's show is being brought to us in part by my book, Tom Molino, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all great books are sold. And you can literally get a copy of it right now by going to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. If you want to get a signed copy, no problem. Visit our website, www.BillyCBoxing.com, and follow the directions. And listen, if you want something specific on the signing, make sure you put it in the comments section. Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia, I want to break down the fight and give you my official predictions, and then hopefully we'll have some time to open up the phone lines and get yours. I got some news to talk about. I got an email or two to read. I got some quotes to talk about from both Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman, and another big fight that I'm going to be ringside for, which hopefully you got your tickets for. Up at the Turning Stone Resort and Casino on March 11th, David Lemieux is fighting Curtis Stevens in what should be a action-packed fight. Both of these guys love to knock their opponent out, and both have something to prove. So get yourself some tickets right now and see me up at Turning Stone. That's right. I'm going to be ringside, and I want to hang out with you, talk some boxing. Go to our website, BillyCBoxing.com, and click on the fight poster on the right-hand side. Get yourself some tickets today. Speaking of today, joining me right now, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sal Rocky Santacola. What's up, Sal?
Hey, good morning, Bill. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing good. Ooh, listen to you. What did you go and run a few miles this morning or what?
I did. Well, it started with coffee. I got in very late, and I pretty much had an hour and a half sleep, and I woke up earlier, and I've been pumping coffee in my system.
Yeah, I know, and you've been whispering sweet nothings in my ear, thinking I was somebody else.
Yes, but, I was on the phone with my girlfriend when we started the show, and that was a plural I do love you kind of thing.
Yeah, I get Sal on the line. Hey, we might as well let the cat out of the bag. I get Sal on the line, and before I got to say hello, Sal says, "I love you." I said, "Well, I love you too, Sal." We gotta break down this fight.
Yeah,
I got some things.
Great fight tomorrow night, by the way.
Oh, I can't wait. I got some.
This is going to be a great fight. It should be a great fight.
It definitely should be. I got some comments, quotes, and stuff from the guys. I want to break it down, but let's read an email I got, which is pretty interesting. Because Jesse sent me an email. He actually sent me two, and one of them required me to do homework. You know, I can't stand when you guys send me stuff that, you know, requires me to do extra work. But this one was worth it. First and foremost, let me read the main part of the email. He says, "Hey, Billy C and Sal, can you break down the Garcia-Thurman fight? How do you expect it will go? Will it be a rock'em sock'em fight? Who's going to be the aggressor? I love Thurman's confidence saying, 'I got an O and I ain't afraid to let it go. My mom used to beat me and my dad used to beat me, so you can't beat me.'" We'll get to that in a second, Jesse. He says, "What was your thoughts on the Yamanaka win over Carlos? He should fight Estrada or McDonald next or move to Super Bantamweight." As far as the fight, he's referring to Yamanaka's win over Carlos Carlson. You know, Yamanaka is an impressive cat. I mean, he's now 27-0 with two draws. He's 34 years old, which, you know, I know a lot of fighters fight beyond that now, but in this weight division, that's kind of old. I mean, this is an action-packed division, but he was making his 12th title defense, and he beat Carlson pretty bad, Sal. I mean, he sent him to the canvas not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times, twice in the fifth, once in the sixth, and twice in the seventh before they finally waved it off. I think this guy deserves the credit, Yamanaka. So, yeah, and I don't disagree with Jesse. I think Jason Estrada or Jamie McDonald fight would be great. As far as Carlos Carlson, you know, he's a tough guy, but you know, let's be real. I mean, he was limited. But still, this was a great win for Yamanaka. He says, "Bill, I read that Sergey Devorenchenko is going to be facing Kamal Russell. Is this a legit bout? Russell hasn't really fought anybody." You know, the thing about Devorenchenko is simply this. He's 9-0 with 7 knockouts. Russell is 10-0 with 8 knockouts. So when you're you know, just cross that double-digit threshold, or, you know, you're under 12 or under 15 fights. I mean, you know, even though all of us, I mean, you and I, Sal, and most of the people involved with this program, you know, we are critical of the cherry picking and stuff like that. But let's be real. You know, you got to give a fighter at least 12 fights before you can start being critical about who he's fighting. So I'm not going to beat up Devorenchenko too much on this particular fight. I do agree with Jesse that Russell, you know, his record definitely looks padded. But he's only got 10 fights. So you know, I mean, they're both still in developmental stage.
This is developmental stage, and you know, he's testing himself. His fighters, I mean, his manager and trainer should be testing him, putting him in different oppositions, putting him in with some southpaws, putting him in with some guys that can box, move laterally, move back, come in at you. This is how you round off a fighter. This is what you give him exposure to different experiences. So when he fights a top level, world class fighter, he's going to be ready. He's been there. He's done that. He's seen it. And he's adjusted and he's adapted and he's accomplished being proficient against different styles.
Well, the only thing I'll say about Devorenchenko is that, you know, he had that extended amateur career.
Yes.
And you know, when these guys, the difference between, you know, a guy that fights 50, 60, 70 fights in the U.S. versus these guys from overseas that are fighting several hundred is that they're fighting, you know, world caliber amateurs, and you know, they're seeing every style. So yes he's more polished than Russell, but still I think, you know, we can't beat him up too bad. And let's take a look at the fight. It's going to be in next week, I think. Is it next week? No, it might be the week after. I don't know. The last thing that Jesse did was he sent me a link. I very rarely like to look at other links and stuff, because you know how the media is today, Sal. You know, so you never know what to believe, right? So, but
no,
anyway,
they just want to report what they want to stimulate in this news.
Exactly. But this particular interview was with a guy that not only do I know personally, but we've mentioned his name several. We mentioned his name a lot on this show because of the size he was, and he was quite the quite the warrior in the ring, and I'm talking about Iran the Blade Barkley. And Jesse sent me a video of Iran the Blade Barkley in Gleason's gym in Brooklyn, and he was asking him about some of the things that we talk a lot about on this show, you know, comparing his era, Iran Barkley's, with today. And, you know, of course, Iran said that he was asked if any of these guys, any of the welterweights today, because obviously the discussion is the Thurman-Danny Garcia fights, any of the welterweights today could have beat any of the welterweights in his era. Iran Barkley's answer, no. He said they wouldn't have changed. Then he went on to say about the middleweights, because obviously Iran fought in the middleweight division. He says, does anyone in the middleweight division, including Triple G, could they have beaten anybody in Barkley's day, or you know, in the 80s and stuff? Iran Barkley, you know what he said, Sal?
He said no.
He did. Pretty good guess. Good guess. You know, you had a 50-50 there. I mean, he could have thrown you the...
Because you know what? The core level, I empathize with him. I could see him because, you know, Triple G is a great fighter. Great fighter in any area. But, you know, when Barkley was fighting, even when I was fighting, you had world-level class contenders, 10 at a time, that could have been champion in any other era.
Well, you had a 50-50 shot at that. I mean, he could have said
50-50 odds as well.
He could have said yes, he could have said no. He could have thrown us a maybe, you know, but you know, he says, and you're right, he said no. But he went a step further. Iran the Blade Barkley said he would start off chasing Triple G. He said, I'd start with that guy first just to show. And it got me thinking. And oh, by the way, Iran Barkley predicted that Canelo will beat Triple G. He said that Canelo's fight against Mayweather really turned him into a smarter boxer. And he feels that because of that fight, Canelo will beat Triple G when and if they ever meet. But it got me thinking, Sal. And, you know, as humans, you know, over the years, and especially if you look at the last, you know, relatively soon, the last 30 years or so, we have definitely gotten bigger and stronger, you know, physically. We know how to train. We know about supplements. Everybody takes performance-enhancing drugs now. Oh, no, no. Did I say that? Oh, no, no, no. I didn't mean that. But, you know, I mean, we definitely have gotten bigger. I mean, if you look at all sports, the players on football and baseball and basketball are all bigger. They're stronger. They're faster. All of this stuff. But you know where I think, and you're going to love this, because I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm saying to myself, yeah, of course, you know, we're bigger, we're stronger. But Iran's right. We're not as good. And you know why I think so, Sal? Because we may have gotten bigger and stronger physically, but I think as a society, as humans, we have gotten weaker mentally. And I think that the mental weakness that the humans are showing now is the result of what we see. The cherry picking, the afraid to lose the O because they want to make the money and all of this stuff. What's your thoughts?
Well, of course. I mean, that's what you and I have said. There's been the emasculation and the feminization of the American male across the board in all sports by any movement you want to say, and I'm not trying to get political or anything else, but come on, you know, we're giving out trophies to everyone. We're doing this, we're doing that. We're talking about an era that I was so proud and humbled to be in, where I'm still a fighter. In my heart, I'm still a fighter. And I'm going to be the best and try to tackle and try to accomplish anything I put my mind to and be the best and win at anything. And that's how I look at life. It's a fight. It's every day.
They say the same stuff today. But
they do.
I don't think that mentally, I don't think.
Mentally, they're not prepared.
And I'm not pointing fingers at any specific fighter. I just think all of humans are not mentally as tough. I mean, let's face it. Nowadays, everybody's, you know, suffering from depression. Everybody's just, I mean, come on.
The doctors have a whole medicine cabinet to give you a pill for anything.
I know. I mean, I ripped up my
knee. Instead of toughing it out. I mean, you know, Bill, and this is sad, and I should be embarrassed to say this. I have not been to a doctor. I mean, not even for anything. Since I got my full physical to get my boxing license back in 2012, for the 2013 comeback fight I did. I haven't even gotten a physical. I don't take any medication. Don't do anything. I just feel good. And I'm afraid I should probably go to the doctor, but I'm afraid what they're going to find is going to be a little overwhelming.
Well, you know, it's funny. I just ripped my knee. Well, I don't know how, but I ripped my knee up, and I went to the doctor to see what the damage was. And the first thing he wanted to do was put me on pain meds. And
well, that's just it.
And I'm saying to myself,
I hate medication.
Yeah, but I'm saying to myself, I don't want to mask it. I just want to find out what's wrong. You know, I mean, right away they want to put a band-aid. Anyway, we're gonna get sidetracked. Let me just get through some notes so we can get to the main meat of the show today, which is breaking down the Thurman Garcia fight. First and foremost, the WBC has suspended Alexander Povetkin for the failed drug test. Now, what that means is they've suspended him to compete for the WBC titles at least for 1 year. He does have a list of things he's got to do. If you're interested in seeing the complete detailed findings and report from the WBC, check out our website, BillyCBoxing.com, and you will have it. In addition to being out for a minimum of a year in terms of competing for a WBC belt, the WBC has also fined him $250,000 big ones, $250,000. Now, whether he pays that, whether he ever wants to fight for a WBC belt again, is yet to be seen. Bob Arum made it. You know, I don't know. I've always respected Bob Arum, Sal. But, you know, sometimes he's like, if he's your promoter, sometimes he seems like he's, whose side is he on, you know? Because we all know that Manny Pacquiao and Amir Khan are trying to get this fight between themselves to take place in Dubai, I believe. And, you know, they also had a contract somewhat in place, no signatures on it, for Manny Pacquiao to fight Jeff Horn in Australia. A fight that, you know, yes, Manny Pacquiao can make some money, but I just don't think the fans give a rat's ass about the fight. But Bob Arum said, and I quote, and he's saying that he doesn't think that the fight in Dubai will happen between Pacquiao and Khan. He says, in order for the fight to happen in Dubai, funds have to be produced to enable the fight to happen, and I'm hoping that those funds materialize. He says, however, if they don't materialize, we got to do something else. He says, but we're optimistic that the funds will materialize, and once they do, then we'll roll up our sleeves and put on a tremendous worldwide event. If it's real, we'll assist in putting on the event, but I'm not holding my breath. I'm not making plane reservations. We'll see what we see. If they come up with the $38 million they need to, the fight's definitely going to take place, and we'll all be happy. If it doesn't, there's going to be one of us that's not surprised, and he's referring to himself. My question is this. What makes him think that the powers that be in Dubai or any other place in the UAE can't come up with $38 million when it's the richest part of the world? I mean, these are guys that are driving around in cars that are made completely of gold, and that's no BS. I've seen several photos of them.
I've seen some of their soft bumpers, and they are gold.
I just don't get it. You know, I mean, does it seem like Bob Arum is kind of trying to put a wrench in the pile here? Is he getting some money under the table from Australia, from the land down under? Is he getting money under the table from the land down under?
We can make that a song.
What do you think?
You know, in the world of boxing, it never is really right on the surface. And there can be a lot of underdealings and things here going on. Could I use that word, minutia?
I don't know. You've used it quite a bit. I mean, you know, I'm going to send you a dictionary so maybe you can find something synonymous with minutia.
I'll get a thesaurus.
Yeah. But hey, let's start breaking down the fight. I mean,
Here's the thing. Bob Arum, I'm sure, you know, he being a politician, he's trying to be on the surface diplomatic where he's got to be, and he knows everyone's agenda. He knows what it's all about, and he's just going to release what he wants to be public now. He has his own motor and machine already in place, believe me.
Well, let's kick off the discussion on Keith Thurman versus Danny Garcia with some quotes. Keith Thurman said, "This fight's been brewing for a long time. Both of us wanted it. There's a reason why this fight's happening. We're young, we're hungry, and we're not trying to wait around. It's time for us. It's time for this fight to go down. Danny's a smart fighter. He's swift. He keeps rising to the top. He knows he has people underestimating him now, and that fuels him. For me, I'm fueled by legacy. I want greatness for myself. It's Danny's reputation against mine. We're both prideful fighters. You're putting two of the best together. He wants to prove that he can be a unified champion in a couple of divisions, and I've been waiting for this opportunity to get fights like this. I want to show how and why I'm better than my competition. Saturday is my platform to show the world how great of a champion I am. Danny does look ready, but I stay true when I look at you. His eyes wander, so I wondered a little what that means. What really matters is how this fight starts. You'll find out if the fighter carries momentum or if it shifts. What happens when we land our first big punches? He feels confident, and I feel confident. I believe that I have no more to offer. I believe that I have more to offer. I feel that I can box my way to victory. I visualize outcomes. I don't think Danny wins without a stoppage. If it goes to the scorecards, it'll favor me.
Can't disagree with him.
Well, reading between the lines, and you know, when I give you my thoughts on the two fighters, it seems to me that Keith one-time Thurman, is respecting Danny Garcia's pop, and he's going to try to outbox him. And Keith Thurman is a decent boxer. Maybe we're all expecting and hoping for some fireworks. And I know when you do get Keith Thurman in an exchange, he does stand in the pocket. But he also gets lulled into trying to outbox you sometimes. And Danny Garcia can cut the ring off. The thing I will say about Garcia is that he does have a suspect defense. I mean, his hands sometimes are a little low. Anyway, I'll get to that in a second. Danny Garcia says this fight does deserve all the media attention it's getting. I've been a champion for 5 years already. And I've been a unified champion. Saturday, I have an opportunity to unify yet another division. It's always been a dream to unify multiple divisions, and now I got my chance. We put in all the hard work. We did everything we had to do. I feel good, and I feel confident. On Saturday night, I'm going to be the unified champion again. He says, I fight to win. Legacy is important to me. I have more milestones than Thurman. This is his biggest fight. I've been in big fights before. Every championship fight is part of history. People say he's bigger. People say he's a bigger man because he's been at this weight longer than me. He says, but I'm taller than him, I'm wider than him, and I got a bigger back than him. He says, I feel like I'm the bigger welterweight. He says, you don't chase a legacy or money. When you get desperate, you'll try to take a shortcut. Everything I do is for the love of the sport. I've been blessed to be in this position. I've been an underdog before. All the underdog means to me that there's a whole bunch of people who don't know what I can do. I rise to the occasion every time. I win because I'm better. On Saturday night, I'm going to prove it again. The one comment, obviously these guys are all trying to say the right thing, but the one comment that...
The
one comment that I'm a little perplexed by is he says, when you get desperate, you'll try to take a shortcut. I'm wondering if he's saying
who's
that.
Who's he referring to?
Yeah, if that's the whole thing. Exactly.
Is he calling Thurman or himself or what? I mean opens some debate.
Yeah, is
well,
he saying?
I don't want to interrupt you now.
No, but is he saying that this? Is he directing that to Keith Thurman? Is he saying you, as in everybody that's a fighter? That it's human nature. That's kind of maybe
that's what he's saying. I would hope that would be because, you know, this is no shortcut, and this is. I'll tell you what. This is what you want to hear from two confident fighters.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that when the going gets tough, you try to take a shortcut. That's a cop out. And I don't think I want to think that if Danny Garcia thinks that everyone does that. Or if he's speaking about himself, then Keith Thurman's going to win this fight. You know, yeah. I think and I hope that he was just trying to get into Keith Thurman's head with that line.
Or talking generalities, possibly.
Yeah, but generalities, I don't want to hear that either. You know,
no.
I mean, because, you know...
That's not the path one would take. That's a world-class champion that has blinders on, that sees something. You're right. That came out of a place that I don't know he meant to be.
Well, I mean, I've, from my own experiences in life, forget about boxing, you know, it seems like a lot of times if you try to take an easy way out or a shortcut, if you will, it's not usually the better choice, you know.
How many times have you doubled down on a blackjack hand and come up losing?
Hey, I play craps, all right?
I knew you did something, okay? I've seen you gamble at a casino.
All right, let's look at these two fights. Keith Thurman has been welterweight technically longer than Danny Garcia. Keith Thurman is the WBA World Welterweight Champion. The computer sees him at number two, which is kind of a little strange because I guess Manny Pacquiao is number one because Danny Garcia, the computer, has at number three. So I'm a little confused there. But Keith Thurman is 28 years old. He's 5'7.5". He's never fought below 145.5 pounds since he turned pro. He actually started in 2007 fighting at technically a junior middleweight level. He was fighting around 150, 152 pounds, which is common for young fighters to fight at. It's not 154, but it's a couple of pounds over their, you know, projected weight class. His last fight to me was his biggest fight against Sean Porter. And I actually thought that Porter won that fight. Instead Keith Thurman got a unanimous decision. He also fought Luis Collazo, who was winning the fight, and then all of a sudden just didn't want to continue, at the start of the seventh round. He actually rocked Keith Thurman a couple of times. His fight against Robert Agosto Guerrero was a decent fight. Robert Agosto Guerrero is a quality fighter. He's just seen better days, and he was way better at the lower weight class. When he moved up to fight at the welterweight class, he just wasn't the same. And the fight that kind of changed everything, in my opinion, for Keith Thurman was the Lended Bundu fight. In that fight, Bundu, who was undefeated going in there, was not known as a knockout puncher. And Keith Thurman just avoided him all night long. He gave him too much respect. It was, in my opinion, it was one of his lesser quality matchups. Now, he did have some wins over other big names like Julio Diaz and Jesus Soto Carras and Diego Chavez and even the old Jan Zavik. But at the end of the day, Keith Thurman, his nickname one time, I think a lot of him. What you're saying, the fluff without the stuff?
I'm tired of hearing. You don't want the rhetoric, the pounding of the chest. That's the fluff. You want the stuff, the substance, with the meat of the matter. What's going to happen? Just show us what you can deliver.
Don't talk about
what you want to do on top of the top of the pile.
Ever since he beat Sean Porter, he's been pounding his chest, and he's taken on a different persona. I don't know what to think. I think he's trying to convince himself. I don't think he really wanted the Sean Porter fight. If everybody recalls, he postponed it because of some accident that was pretty questionable. And I think he was kind of nervous about Porter. And then at the end of the night, he gets his hand held raised, and all of a sudden, I think that confidence has really carried over. He's stepping in the ring with Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia. He's been a blue chip. I also look at him as a blue collar fighter, but he's also a blue chip fighter. Danny Garcia latched on to Shelly Finkel early in his career. He had a very extended, successful amateur career, and he was always on these big cards, thanks to Shelly Finkel, where he got to be on the big stage. Now, he wasn't a main event, a co-main event, or anything like that, but he was at the events. And, you know, his rise to the top, and incidentally, you know, he started out at 140 pounds and then, continued, won a title. His last four fights have been at the welterweight division, and he beat Samuel Vargas, Robert Agosto Guerrero, another victim of Thurman, Paulie Malignaggi, Lamont Peterson. They were all at the welterweight level. He also fought and almost didn't win against Lucas Matisse, Eric Morales he beat. He beat Zab Judah. These were all guys in the twilights of their career. No one can argue his fight against Amir Khan when he knocked Amir Khan out in 2012. I mean, the guy who your buddy Nate Campbell. He beat Nate Campbell, you know. But the truth of the matter is all of his success, most of it came at the junior welterweight division. The thing is that he is bigger than Keith Thurman. He's an inch taller. He's got remarkably, although he's an inch taller, he's got a half an inch arm reach less. At the end of the day, this is what I see with this fight, Sal.
Go ahead, let me hear you.
Danny Garcia as a guy who's what I call a compact fighter. He likes to fight inside. His defense is suspect. I see him trying to finish off Keith Thurman. You know, he gets a lot of flack in the corner with his pops. Everybody knows Angel Garcia is off the he's off the charge. I mean, he's over the top. Danny can cope with that, I don't know. He's a fundamentally sound fighter, except for that defense. I don't like the way he holds his hands, Sal. He keeps him down a little bit, and I think that's perfect for Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman, when he does want to box, he can box. He's got some speed, and of course he's got some power. I think what's going to happen is I think Keith Thurman is going to wait to counterpunch Danny Garcia and take advantage of Danny's suspect defense. If Danny Garcia can withstand the power punching of Keith Thurman, I think Danny's going to come out on top. If he can't, you're going to see Danny Garcia get stopped and lose for the first time in his career. How do I officially think this fight's going to go? Well, you know, a lot of times I have a tendency to go with my heart rather than what I think is right. And as much as I like Keith Thurman, and I used to, I don't like the kind of guy he's become. I don't like the pounding of the chest. You know, I really don't. I as much as I think he's talented, and the two trainers are a tale of two different personalities. Angel Garcia is a whack job. Danny lets his pops do all the crazy stuff, and he stays quiet. It's the reverse in Thurman's corner. His trainer doesn't say a word. Keith Thurman does all the yapping and stuff. My heart says to go one way. My mind says that Keith Thurman's power is going to prevail. But I have a feeling, and I think that the experience that Danny Garcia has had in the big fights, even though I think their level of opposition is very similar, if you factor in the fact that Danny Garcia has fought a lot of these superstars in the twilights of their career. I'm going with the upset here, Sal. I'm going with Danny Garcia. I think Danny Garcia is going to rock Keith Thurman, and I think it's going to cause Keith Thurman to back away. The big thing that I'm going to be keeping an eye on in this fight is to see what kind of punch output Danny Garcia does. He has a tendency to get kind of lazy in there, and it's all going to boil down to the training. You know, Keith Thurman, is he believing his own press clippings? Is he going in there underestimating Danny Garcia? I don't believe that Danny Garcia is underestimating Keith Thurman. I think it's going to be an exciting fight. I think it's going to start off a little slow. I do. I think the fight's going to start off a little slow. But I do think it's going to end up being a rock'em sock'em type fight. I think Danny Garcia is going to need it to be that. And he's going to roll the dice to see if he can withstand the punches of Thurman. And I think that Thurman is going to try to outbox Danny, but he's going to get pulled into a firefight, and he doesn't do that bad in firefights. Watch out for Keith Thurman counterpunching and connecting with Danny, but my official pick in this fight, Sal, is Danny Garcia. How do you see it?
I'll tell you, Bill, I couldn't have said anything better or what my heart feels about this fight myself. I mean, I saw a lot when Keith Thurman fought Sean Porter, and it was a great fight. We know it was one of the best fights of last year, and Keith Thurman did prevail and come out the victor there, but there were moments that I thought Sean could have capitalized on that he was unable to do so, and that's what gave Thurman the edge in some of those exchanges and when they were close toe-to-toe. I don't know if Keith Thurman is going to be ready for the pursuit of Danny Garcia cutting off the ring and moving with some hands moving and punching and I think Danny's got some good firepower that I feel he may catch Thurman and throw Thurman off his game, And Plan B is going to have to be available for Thurman to keep in the fight, because I think Danny Garcia is going to be very strong in there. And Keith Thurman, you're right, he's going to outbox him. He's going to try and move. He's going to try and catch him on the outside. He's going to exchange some good opportunities inside. But I too see the fight with Danny Garcia coming up, maybe the victor tonight, tomorrow night.
You know, the funny thing is, Sean Porter has to be a guy that most of these welterweights are avoiding. I happen to love Sean Porter, but the problem...
Yeah, I know you do. I know, and they fought a great fight. It was a great fight.
But the problem with Sean Porter is his punching accuracy. Sean Porter...
Well, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, his punching accuracy is like lightning. He doesn't know where the next punch is going to land. If he was able to harness that, I think that he would do a lot better, and I think he would have done a lot better, even though I thought he eked out the fight against Thurman. I think it would have been more in his favor. Again, in that particular fight, it just seemed like they weren't scoring for Porter as much. But in this fight, I think that Danny Garcia, his style, what he does best is he delivers those short, powerful punches.
Especially right on the inside.
And he's accurate. He knows where the punch is going to land. I think if he can somehow lull Thurman into a close-range fight, work his body a little bit, and just get Keith to drop his guard. Because let's face it, Keith Thurman has a solid stance. His defense is decent. I think what I would try to do if I'm Danny Garcia is I would try to get Thurman waiting too much for Danny to make a mistake. If Danny can press the action, if Danny can come out and press the action and take it to Thurman and have Thurman, on his heels, because if Thurman's waiting to counterpunch Danny Garcia, the best thing I think you can do is make him continue to wait and wait and wait. And all that time he's waiting for his opportunity, in theory, Danny Garcia is winning on the scorecard. So I think it's going to be, it's an interesting fight. I could be 100% wrong, and Danny Garcia can go in there, and Keith Thurman knocks him out because of his punching power. I mean, that wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me at all.
I know. Good point, all across the board. It wouldn't shock me, but this is a good fight on paper, and we're going to see a great fight in the ring.
Well, the bottom line is that, I think it takes more from a fighter to win a fight than to believe the press clippings and pound their chest. And I don't think, Deontay Wilder proved it. Whoever watched the fight with Deontay Wilder, and like I've said many, many times, a win is a win is a win, and he got the win, and he got the knockout win. But anybody that watched that fight knows that he's not the best heavyweight. As far as Keith Thurman's concerned, he very well may be the best welterweight out there. But I think that this fight would define it, not previous fights. So the pounding of the chest, I think the reason why Keith Thurman does it is because he's trying to convince himself. And that is a sign that if you're trying to convince yourself, that's a problem, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, he, like I said, both fighters are saying the right thing and telling the fans what we want to hear. And it's going to be, let's see if they could just put their fists where their mouth is. And then we'll answer all the pounding of the chest and see whose chest can endure. I don't know if that was a good analogy.
I don't know. But I know King Kong pounds his chest, and he can kick everybody's ass. But anyway, well, let's open up the phone lines and get your thoughts. I want to specifically talk about the Thurman Garcia fight. Give us a call, 845-228-8710. Let's make it quick. We want to try and get a couple of callers in. 845-228-8710. Another big fight that's coming up. David Lemieux against Curtis Stevens. I'm going to be ringside. They had some quotes. Curtis Stevens said, "This should be a good fight. Me and Lemieux have the same kind of come-and-get-it style. People think of me as a hard puncher, but I'm an all-around fighter." He says, "I can slug. I can box. My first reaction is to take you out, but I can box, too." He says, "It doesn't I could take you out too. I could box. I could bring it to him. I could fight for rounds. He says Lemieux used to come in forward, so in order for me to do that, I'll have to stay right there and clutch. We'll see. No matter what he brings, I'm going to win. I'm prepared this time. As far as David Lemieux, well, he made it pretty simple when David Lemieux said, I'm going to destroy Curtis Stevens. Training camp's going great. I'm ready for war. Let's go. We'll see how tough you are in the ring. I like that. We got somebody on the line right now. Sal, what's your name? Where you calling from?
This is Mike from Michigan.
Hey, Mike from Michigan. How the hell are you, brother?
Boy, Mike.
Yeah, it could be better, but it is what it is. Is today Friday? Is today Sanderson Friday? Or am I off my locker? Sick Thursday.
Today's Friday. Today's Friday. We're getting your thoughts on the Danny Garcia-Keith Thurman fight, my man.
All right, Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman. I'm going to go with Keith Thurman, even though I don't necessarily like his new style of running around. If you remember correctly, when he was brought up on HBO and he fought, I don't know who he fought. He fought a couple times on HBO. It was this one time, you know, Keith Thurman, one time, knockouts. That's all I do is knockout. And he did it. He went forward and pressed for a knockout. Didn't seem scared. Now he's on Showtime. Now he says he's using his boxing ability, but I just see him pop, chopping, and running around, to be honest with you. But he's winning, so I'm going to go with Keith Thurman. I say he pot shots, and I don't think Garcia is going to be able to hurt him too much unless he gets caught with a body shot, which is what everyone's saying. However, Thurman's never been down with a body shot. He's gotten hurt, but never been down. So I'm gonna go with Thurman. I'm gonna go with Thurman. What about you?
Well, I'm picking. I've always liked Thurman. I think he's a power puncher and everything else. But I don't like what he's become. I can't stand the persona of him anymore, and I think that he has been hurt by body shots, and you know, the best thing really, I'm picking Danny Garcia in this fight. I think Danny Garcia is a more compact fighter. I think he's going to break down Keith Thurman. I think Keith Thurman is going to wait to counterpunch and take advantage of Danny Garcia's, in my opinion, lazy defense. So I'm going with my heart on this one. I think that boxing needs Danny Garcia to beat Keith Thurman. That's what I think. But I'm picking Danny in this one, brother.
Do you want to do another bet or no? Are we done betting?
Who won our last bet?
I'm 0 for 1. I watched it. Well, I didn't lose out. I bought the book and I enjoyed the book. So I mean, you know, it's not like it. That's what we bet on last time. If I lost, I bought the book, and you signed it, but I forgot to say you signed it part. It was a win-win for me. So, regardless, we'll just say, I don't know, forget the bet. I'm just going with Thurman, you go with Garcia, that's fine. I told you why. One thing I want to say is, don't you just love how Keith Thurman and everybody talks about themselves in third person now?
What bothers me is that the younger fan base, you know, we got one of them, I'm assuming, and you know what they say about that in our chat room right now, who you know, they're blind. They don't know the sport. And
what are they saying?
Well, I'm not going to give them the time, but the truth of the matter is that you know, the way these fighters are today, it starts off at the press conferences. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Oh, I get you in that ring. Oh boy, and then they run like, you know, the little bitches that they are. You know, and I'm not suggesting that Keith Thurman or Danny Garcia does that, but Keith Thurman certainly has become bigger than life in his own mind. And I think that it all stemmed, like I said earlier, from the Sean Porter fight. I thought that he was afraid of Sean Porter. And when he beat Porter, it was like a sigh of relief. And since then, he has been pretty hard to deal with, I think. You know, I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, I like the quiet guy that lets his fist do the talking in the ring. That's absolutely. That's what I like, you know. So, you know, and honestly, I just think that in this particular fight, I'm going for what I hope happens, because I do think that Keith Thurman hits harder than Danny Garcia. And I was always a big Keith Thurman fan, but I'm just going for what I feel might be better for the sport, and that's a win by Danny Garcia.
Gotcha. Keith Thurman, knockouts for life. Keith Thurman, your boy, got this. He kind of has a lisp like Mike Tyson, and I just can't hear how he talks about himself in third person. But what about the dad? What about Garcia's dad? Do you have any thoughts about the racial slurs and everything that?
I think it's totally uncalled for, and I can't stand it. But here's the difference. Danny Garcia is I hope nobody takes this wrong. I'm not suggesting for a minute that I agree with what Angel Garcia has done or will do or anything. But Danny Garcia kind of lets his father absorb that and deflect all of the stuff that I'm able to say about Keith Thurman that I can't say about Danny Garcia. You know, Keith Thurman is putting that on himself, similar to what David Haye does. David Haye is a joke. He's fighting too this weekend. He's a joke. You know, these guys that pound their chest that don't back it up. You know, Deontay Wilder is a guy that spearheads my pound in the chest campaign. And the reason isn't because I don't like Deontay. I think he's a great guy. And if he was as talented as he thinks he is, he would be great for the sport. The problem is you can't pound your... You beat up a Girl Scout selling cookies and pound your chest that you just kick somebody's ass. Doesn't prove you're tough, you know? So, hey, Mike, listen, we got some other callers calling in. I just wanted to take some calls before we pack it in today. But I appreciate it. I hope you listen to our post-fight show this weekend.
But I'll be listening to you.
Sounds good, brother. Hang in there, kiddo.
Take care, buddy. We'll see you.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you. Hi, Sal. Goodbye, Sal.
Have a great day.
Mike says, hi, Sal. Goodbye, Sal. You know, but okay. Phone line is open. I know several of you were trying to call in. I did want to try and get a couple of callers. 845-228-8710. You know, I just want to be perfectly clear with my opinion on the Keith Thurman chest pounding thing. I'm not taking anything away from Keith Thurman's ability inside the ring. I'm not. And I am, you know, if you read between the lines, I'm saying that I think that Keith Thurman, you know, is better than Danny Garcia. I just am pulling for Danny Garcia because I like the style of a fighter who keeps his mouth shut and tries to do the work in the ring. And let's make no mistake, Danny Garcia has been handed some cupcake opponents. I mean, the Rod Salika fight is a great example of a fight that, you know, he gets handed. He goes over to Puerto Rico and you know, most people thought he lost. So, anyway, Dax is on the line. What's your thoughts of the fight, brother?
Morning, Dax.
Good morning. You know, on paper, of course, it looks like Keith Thurman should go and get the win, you know, with this massive, tremendous Superman power that he has. You know, I've said for a long time, Keith Thurman isn't as good as Keith Thurman says he is, and he's not as good as people like to think he is. Keith Thurman is an average fighter in a very average era right now. Once Floyd Mayweather left and once Manny Pacquiao dwindled down, that division really just got watered down. So, Danny Garcia is a guy who, you stated before, Bill, very accurately, he's kind of a blue-chip guy. You know, he's patient inside the ring. He's shown he can come back from being down in fights on the scorecard. Danny Garcia is not really the most skilled guy when it comes to footwork. He's not the most mobile guy, but he's a patient guy, and he's a very accurate puncher. So what I think is going to happen is Keith Thurman, he's going to taste a little bit of Danny Garcia's power. Not that Garcia's a huge puncher, don't get me wrong, but the accuracy, and he's a fair puncher. Thurman's going to try and box him. Danny Garcia, his defense isn't the best, but it's better than what I think you're giving him credit for. Keith Thurman is going to try to jump around, dance around. He's going to do his kangaroo hop that he does, like he did against Bundu, and he's going to learn that Danny Garcia is not going to be deterred, and what's going to happen is the first time he goes on the ropes, he's going to try and do like he did against Sean Porter. He's going to cover up. He's going to hope that he just waits it out, except Danny Garcia is not going anywhere. Danny Garcia isn't going to swing wild, and Danny Garcia is going to stop Keith Thurman.
You know, I'm actually surprised you're picking Danny too.
I thought that's how I see it. In my heart of hearts, I agree with you and Bill, Dax. I think Danny Garcia is that persistent punching machine inside there, where he's not going to get easily deterred, and he's a little more precise with some combinations and punches, and he's got a little pop on there. And yeah, I agree with both of you.
Yeah, no, I tell you, I hope you're right. I hope that Dax is right that I'm wrong about Danny's defense, because when I watch Danny fight, his hands are always down. You always see his whole face. You know, a lot of times when you see a whole fighter's face from top to bottom, their hands are slightly too low. You know, a good defensive, and Keith Thurman actually has a pretty solid stance. The problem, I think, with Thurman is that he showed in his last fight that he's susceptible to body work, and I think that's right up Danny Garcia's alley.
Right up his alley.
I don't know. And I'm glad you're making the point, Dax, about Keith Thurman bouncing around trying to outbox him, because I think that that's his game plan, that they are underestimating Danny Garcia's ability to cut the ring off and control the action. And his line at his comment when he said that if the fight goes to the scorecards, I'm going to win, that sounds like that's something that's been talked and whispered in his ear all through training camp, that he's a better boxer, that he's going to win on the cards, this and that and the other thing. And I think that's a dangerous game plan.
Well, the comment you were wondering about with Danny Garcia saying, well, guys, they take shortcuts. You know, what he means by that is exactly what I described about Keith Thurman, and we've seen with Keith Thurman. When his one time, Mr. One Time, does not get it done with the one time, Keith Thurman doubts himself. You see it in there. Anytime a fighter is placed on the ropes and just covers himself up, you're doubting yourself. You're hoping to get through that storm. And not to keep going back to the Sean Porter fight, but that's what it was. Sean Porter, as you stated before, if he was more accurate and he just didn't hope that that punch would land cleanly, you know, Keith Thurman would have been knocked out. There's no way to sit there and argue that. As many punches as he was getting hit with, he stood there, he held in close. He was like a kid on a schoolyard in his first real fight, hoping that he just doesn't get hurt. And that's more or less what it really was. So, you know, Danny Garcia, though, that's not going to happen with Danny Garcia. So Danny Garcia has a pretty solid chin. He's not smaller than Keith Thurman, and that's where that shortcut thing comes in. You know what? You're not going to dig deep like I am. You're going to sit there and try and hope you can one pot shot me. Not one time me. I'm tired of that expression. You're going to hope you can pot shot me. You're going to hope you can bounce around me. Yeah, you're going to win some rounds, but you know what? It's a 12-round fight, and in these 12 rounds, I'm going to eventually catch you because I'm willing to dig deep. Keith Thurman, you're not willing to dig deep, and you know what? You refer to yourself in the third party, but you know what? There's only going to be one of you and one of me. It's not going to be me against two of you.
Let me ask you this real quick. Let me ask you this real quick, Dax. Do you think, I mean, because Danny Garcia, percentage-wise, he's, obviously over 50% knockout ratio with him. Of his 33 fights, he's put 19 out, giving him a 58% knockout ratio. He's just not known, at least, off the top, as a knockout guy. Do you think that he has been in there with some fighters that can hit as hard as Thurman?
Well, at 140 pounds, he's been in there with Lucas Matisse, and Lucas Matisse can hit hard. Amir Khan, people say what they want, but at 140 pounds, despite the chin, Amir Khan can hit. At 140 pounds, Amir Khan was a puncher, and the speed. You know, Danny Garcia has dealt with guys with speed. Keith Thurman, he's fast. He's not Amir Khan fast. He's not Zab Judah fast. So Danny Garcia has a more rounded about pulling it. You know, you speak about a lot of the guys were in the twilight, but you know what? Those guys were not quite shot, but they were also on that level where, you know what, Danny Garcia, you know, they were able to help him complete his skill set and make him into a more rounded fighter. I believe Danny Garcia is a guy who goes in there a little bit less relaxed. Keith Thurman, in my opinion, has kind of that, again, back to the schoolyard mentality thing. I don't want to get beat up. I don't want to lose in front of everybody because, you know, it's more like a pride thing. He'd rather take, you know, the ugly win and hope, you know what, on the end, if the scorecards go to, if it goes to the cards, it's going to go in my direction. So to me, you know what that says? All I got to do is just make sure that I last the fight, and I'm going to get the win anyway.
That's a great point. And my question, do you think Danny, do you think he's right? Before we let you go, do you think that Thurman's right in a sense where if this does go to the scorecards, are people leaning towards, well, specifically, are the judges leaning towards Keith Thurman? Do you think that he steals a fight from Danny? Is Danny going to be busy enough to win on scorecards?
He might not. So Keith Thurman could be right, and, you know, there was, I think it was Coach mentioned in the chat room, and I've heard other people say it, you know, the Andrew Garcia, you know, sometimes it's who you're involved with and who's around you that can bring you down, and, you know, Andrew Garcia is a guy that, you know, they're kind of hoping, you know what, do anything just to get him out of here, even if it means, you know, taking a win from his son. In the end, in truth, now take away, you know, go behind the scenes when you talk to people and you think about it, a Keith Thurman win would be the optimal win for the promoters and everyone else, because what's going to happen is that will set up the winner of Brooke and Spence. And I don't care if Brooke wins or Spence wins, neither Keith Thurman or Danny Garcia beats either. And, you know, if Errol Spence wins and he goes in there and he fights the winner of this, all of a sudden now you have a megastar inside the division. And that's what, you know, that's good for business, and that's what they want. So either way, you know what, this is the last hurrah for either one of these guys. They're hanging on. Eventually, both those are going to go by the end of 2017, no matter how it is. But Danny Garcia, officially on my card, is going to get this one way or another.
Sounds good. I'm glad we're on the same page. Very I don't good, know if Dax. That's good or bad, but Dax, appreciate the call, my man. Wait.
All right, everybody, and I'll talk to you during the post-fight.
That's right. I was just going to say. Thanks, brother. I was just going to say, but he beat me to it. But, you know, concerning, we'll try and take one more call. 845-228-8710. You know, concerning the corner, that Dax reiterated what Coach is saying here in the chat room, you know, if Danny Garcia's corner can stay, you know, cool. You see, this is where I think that people got to stop with the Angel Garcia. Not that Angel Garcia is not a dick, because he is, but that's his role. I think that Angel Garcia has taken on that role. He's become the cushion, the buffer for Danny Garcia. When push comes to shove in that corner, you know, I think that Danny Garcia knows that his father is his father. I don't see him it being I don't see it being, you know, as bad as people say. We got one more caller on the line. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, that's up in New York. How are you?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you? Hey, Dad, how are you?
Good morning.
What's your thoughts on the fight, brother?
So I'm going with I agree it's a 50-50 fight. But I think I'm leaning towards Keith Thurman. I feel like in order for Garcia to win, like the one thing that Garcia, well, one of the things Garcia does very, very well, if anything stands out about his skill, is that left hook. And he'll kind of like, remember the left hook that Tarver knocked out Roy Jones with, where like Tarver closed his eyes and launched? I think that's what Danny Garcia is good at. Like that's what he caught Amir Khan with, like that's what he caught the other guy, Morales, with you, like, literally close his eyes and launch the left hook. And I think that's what Keith Thurman has to... If Keith can get it past that left hook, I think he'll be okay.
Well, you know, you make a great point, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, Keith Thurman is a good fighter, you know. It just seems to me that I think he's going to wait to counter a punch, that specific punch. I think he's going to wait, and it's all going to boil down to see who's busy. I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm going with my heart on this one, and obviously.
But, you know, also another thing too. I feel like I've never seen. I feel like whoever wins this fight is going to win going forward. But I don't know, because actually, hold on, let me back up for a minute. Thurman proved to me that he could win a fight moving forward or moving backwards. Because Sean Porter was backing Keith Thurman up a lot in the fight, and Keith Thurman did, you know, he was fighting on the ropes. Keith Thurman, that was like a, I think that took some life out of Keith Thurman. That was like, out of both guys, that was a dog fight. Danny Garcia fights in one direction. He fights going forward, and if you back up, you're likely to lose. You know, so I feel like Keith Thurman, if he's being backed up, he can fight while he's being backed up. He can fight going forward. I think it comes down to who's getting backed up the most, because I've never seen Danny Garcia fight going backwards. Even Lucas Matisse, like, he wasn't backing up Danny Garcia. And it was weird to me, Danny Garcia was actually backing up Lucas. So I feel like it may come down to, can Danny Garcia fight going backwards? Keith Thurman, we know he can. People say he's been running the last couple fights. I don't necessarily disagree, but he's been winning those last couple fights. If he's running, then he's backing up, and he's winning the last couple fights. You know, so that's how I'm seeing it. But I kind of feel like New York is Garcia's home turf. I just hope it doesn't come down to like something like, you know, where, because I don't think Keith has fought in New York, right?
No.
I know Danny has fought there a couple of times. So if anything, you know, if it goes to the decisions, like, who does Al Haymon want to be his star, and then come down to that, you know, the PBC, Al Haymon, does Al Haymon favor Garcia? Is Garcia more marketable? Is Keith Thurman more marketable? Danny Garcia is a New York, quote-unquote, a New York fighter. But I hope it doesn't come down to that.
One thing I want to ask you before we let you go. Now, you make some points, and I want to get your quick thoughts on Keith Thurman. You know, Keith Thurman, in his comments and his actions, you know, he's banking on the fact that he's bigger. And what I read between the lines, too, is that, you know, his team is putting a lot of ideas in his head, whispering in his ear, and he's running with them. He's believing them. He's putting the faith in his corner, which is good. But do you think that once that fight starts, and when and if, because none of us have seen these two in the ring at the same time, because we'll see the real size, if anybody's got an advantage or a disadvantage during the fight come Saturday night, because nothing matters until everybody's fully hydrated and everything. Do you think that mentally that changes anything for Keith Thurman if he sees that Danny Garcia, in fact, isn't smaller than him?
No, because Keith Thurman, remember, he's been in the ring with Sean Porter. And Sean Porter, I think, he's fought, I think in the amateurs, he fought at 165 pounds in the amateurs.
Right.
I don't think Keith is worried about the size of Garcia. And I think when it comes to corners, Keith Thurman's corner, Dan Birmingham, the guy is like one of the most underrated coaches in boxing. You know, so I think if when it comes down to it, and another thing too, right, I grew up in a bad neighborhood. Yeah, I moved out of a neighborhood like 20 years ago. I know a crackhead when I see one. Angel Garcia is that guy. He's on some sort of drugs. And that's the type of confidence, that's the type of guy that Danny Garcia has to go back to in this corner. And he has to get instructions from somebody who maybe, I don't know, maybe Angel Garcia is better when he's on drugs. I don't know, but if I were to pick one guy and the drone gets tough, I would rather have somebody experienced and not high in my corner giving me instructions and not getting emotional and screaming and acting crazy. So,
but it's
I don't think size is going to be an issue. And if anything, because, I mean, Thurman, he's been in the ring with bigger people.
All right, man. Fair enough. Hey, we hope you tune into the post-fight show and give us your thoughts after the fight.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
All right, brother. Take care.
Bye-bye. Great day.
Some great points from everybody today, Sal. You know, listen, my point about Angel Garcia in the corner and his crazy antics and stuff, Danny's used to it. It's obviously a soothing thing, you know.
Yeah,
and
it works. And you know what? If he wasn't successful, then, you know, you look at some of the reasons why. But the guy's successful, and you got to look at some of the reasons why.
Wow, you know, the funny thing is that he's right. Dan Birmingham is an extremely underrated trainer. He is good. He's very quiet spoken. He's a serious guy. He's focused. But I think a lot of that has to do with you know, his you know, his powers of mind manipulation, and I think he's very successful at getting Keith Thurman calm, cool, and collective with his thoughts, and have him believing some of the things that Dan Birmingham has told him over the last you know, couple of years. And I think that's what we hear from Keith Thurman when he says things like, you know, I'm bigger, I can outbox him, I'm this, I'm that, I can win on the scorecards. These are all things that Dan Birmingham is telling him. And although I agree and like that Keith Thurman, and you know what, Keith Thurman, the Keith Thurman that I met and watched spar and train in Florida, is not the same Keith Thurman, at least the personal, the persona, is not the same Keith Thurman. Now, whether Keith Thurman needs to be the way he's acting now, to give himself confidence or whatever, we'll see on Saturday night. But I am anticipating a great fight from both these guys. And for everybody watching or listening right now, don't forget to tune in right here. As soon as the fight is over, we will be going live approximately 6 minutes after the official announcement is made, and we will be talking about all the televised fights on that card and some other any other hot news that may come across, like if anybody gives two craps about David Haye and Tony Bello. That fight would have already taken place by the time we go on. So make sure you're tuning in here for the post-fight show. We will be giving you our thoughts, and then mostly we'll open up the phone lines and stay on as long as you guys are calling in. But remember, we take one caller at a time. So don't overwhelm us with that. But I know, you know, when Sal is silent, you know what that means? He's typing in the chat room, you know, because, you know, no. that's
sitting on my hand.
We got to go. That's what I'm going to do. When you know, next time we're together, I'm gonna get tape. I'm going to tape your hand so you can stay away from there.
That's right.
But anyway, on this day in boxing history, March 3rd, in the year 2001, John Ruiz wins a 12-round decision over Evander Holyfield to win the WBA World Heavyweight title. It took place in Vegas. On this day in 2001, Brian Mitchell knocks out Manuel Sayaka in the 12th round to regain the WBA's World Super Middleweight title. It also took place in Vegas. On this day in the year 2000, Felix Tito Trinidad knocks out Fernando Vargas in the 12th round to win the IBF and retain his WBA World Junior Middleweight titles. And that took place in Vegas. On this day in 1970, Ismael Laguna knocks out Mando Ramos in the 10th round to win the World Lightweight title. It took place in Los Angeles, California. On this day in 1944, Bob Montgomery wins a 15-round decision over Bo Jack to win the World Lightweight title. It took place at Madison Square Garden in New York City. And finally, on this day, March 3rd, in 2012, Vladimir Klitschko knocks out Jean-Marc Mormack in the 4th round to retain the WBA, WBO, IBF, and IBO World Heavyweight titles. And that took place in Germany on this day in 2012. Any final thoughts, Sal?
No, I you know, I'm excited about this weekend. And, you know, we've been fortunate to have the last couple weekends free nationally televised TV with big fights. And I'm very grateful for that. And tomorrow night, I think, is going to be one of the best ones we've seen yet.
Well, it's definitely a significant fight.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, it has a significance, of course, in the welterweight division. And I'm glad to see these guys are all finally fighting each other. I guess all it took was to get rid of Floyd Mayweather, and now these fighters have to fight each other, you know, which is good stuff. And like
they're both saying the right things. I mean, they're confident. They're both looking to challenge themselves, and they're both looking to be the best. This is fighting. This is what it's about. This is how the best rises to the top.
Well, you just listen. You just used a choice of words that I love. Both of these fighters, regardless of who you think's going to win, regardless of who wins, they're both challenging themselves, and you got to give them credit for even fighting each other. Something that's been not happening in this sport for quite some time. And as Dax mentioned, you know, we have the Kell Brook and Errol Spence Jr. fight coming up. That's another one. And Errol Spence Jr. might eventually rise to the top of all these guys when you put in, when you take in consideration that he's the youngest of them. And the guy that seemingly is, you know, trying to fight the top guys quicker than most. And Kell Brook, I mean, come on, he did the same. And then the potential winner of that fight fighting the winner of this fight that we're going to be talking about Saturday night. I mean, that's all good stuff, especially for the welterweight division. We got the middleweight division being contested with Triple G taking on Danny Jacobs. That's another fight. Daniel
great
Jacobs.
Fight.
Daniel,
great yeah, fight.
Daniel Jacobs. I mean, how much, you know,
how much credit
yeah. do we got to give him for taking the challenge of fighting Triple G that no one else seems to want to fight? And then don't forget, we got the heavyweight matchup between my man AJ, Anthony Joshua, taking on the guy who dominated the heavyweight division for nearly a decade in Vladimir Klitschko. So, I mean, these are all fights that are coming right up.
But, you know, Bill, and it's exciting. You know, it's like I was saying all last year. I mean, boxing's got to reboot itself. People have got to rise to the top again. And maybe this is some of the fights that we're going to be seeing this year.
Wait, it looks like that. I thought you said that our political system had to reboot itself.
Oh, that too. I think our president has done that, and we're gonna see how it reboots itself.
Well, I tell you something that's being rebooted right now is the New York Jets, because the Jets are getting rid of all of the veteran players. It seems it was announced this morning that the receiver is going, a guy that. Was very outspoken that we picked up from he was formerly with the Bears and with the Dolphins, and then he came over to the Jets, and he's gone. Revis is gone. Nick Mangold is gone. Gilchrist is gone, you know. So we'll see what happens. But hey, Sal, we'll be looking forward to the post-fight show tomorrow. And I know you got to get yourself some sleep, but too bad you don't have time because you got to go into the restaurant.
Absolutely.
All right, my man. Well, listen, make sure you guys tune in for our Saturday post-fight show. And it's not the same time or same channel, but it is the same channel, but at a different time. But then after that, on Monday, you can choose to tune in right here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Da na 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 na